There we go. Okay. We are going to be looking in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel record today. And in the 25th chapter, the entire 25th chapter covers three scenarios, okay? Three scenarios that describe the events at the time of Christ's coming and his judgment. It gives us three scenarios or possibilities of what people might be about or doing or what condition they would be in at his coming. The first is referred to as the parable of the 10 virgins. In it, Jesus describes 10 pure women who are waiting the return of the bridegroom. Christ is our bridegroom. The church is his bride. And those who are called the 10 virgins are those people that belong to Christ. Okay, it's just a representation. And it represents the believers waiting for Christ to return. He tells how half were prepared and half were not. He ends the parable with, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch, therefore, because you don't know when he's coming back. It's important to pay attention to that. The second scenario is another parable. And in that parable, Jesus describes 3 servants who were entrusted with something to invest. 2 of them invested what they'd been given, and the 3rd one did not. He buried it. And the 2 who invested what was given to them brought a return to their master. And the 3rd one, though, he only returned what he was given to invest. And for this, he was punished. What he had was taken away. And he was cast into outer darkness away from the master. He was entrusted with something. He was given something just like the other 2. But he wasted it by not investing it, by not using it to the glory of his master. Each of us is given something to invest for Christ's kingdom building, and we need to be using it to bring him a return on his investment. That's what he says. And that parable ends this way: "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, do you think for a moment that that servant thought that that's where he was going to end up by just hoarding what it was that he was given, by not investing what he was given, by not using it to the master's glory? No, of course he didn't. He thought he was good. He even said, I knew what kind of a man you were. You know, you invest and you get back. And I thought, well, I better just save it so I don't lose it. But the picture is that we're supposed to be using what God gives us to his glory. And that's the backdrop for our reading today. Jesus was definitely setting up the 3rd scenario with the 1st 2. He gave these teachings right in a row as it's recorded. He engaged his listeners with 2 reasons to be prepared and to be using what he has received for God's glory. Whatever we receive, we are to be prepared and we are to use what he gives us to his glory. And now we're going to look at that 3rd scenario that Jesus taught. If you'll open your pew Bibles there to page 669, if that's the one you're using. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. We're going to begin this message by reading verse 31 through 46. That's Matthew chapter 25. Again, page 669 in the Pew Bible. And we are going to read verses 31 to 46. But before we do, I'd like us to pray. Almighty God, I'm powerless to speak without you. I need you, Lord. I ask that you would anoint me. Give me unction to speak your words. Mercifully grant each one here, Lord, to be fed upon your word. Bring us together under Christ. He lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit now and forever. And we need your guidance, Father. We ask that you would take a hold of me and use me today to bring your truth to bear upon our lives. You are all powerful. Please make your power over our souls known. Deliver us from evil. Help us to remain watchful, Lord, in these troubling times. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And please keep us from taking your blessings for granted. Please have mercy and pour your spirit upon all who hear these words. Use my preaching in your might. Let me not use enticing words of man's wisdom, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in demonstration of your spirit and your power. Let your will be done here today, I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. And this is what we hear there. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Everlasting fire? Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life, life eternal. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, but not just that passage. Everything that comes out of my mouth, I trust that he will guide. Amen. Those three things that are recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel teach believers to be ready for Christ's coming in judgment. We celebrate his coming. We look back at the baby in the manger, okay? And we get all warm and fuzzy. We get these good feelings. But you know what his word tells us to do? He tells us to look forward to his return. And never, ever in Scripture are we commanded to look at his birth. It is laid out for us with all the detail that's there so that we will know that it happened. He was promised to come and he came. And he's been promised to come back and he will. And we are to remain watchful for his coming. We are to be prepared for his coming. In modern history, that's the past 50 or 75 years or somewhere in that span of time, much of the church has changed its focus at this time of the year. Previously, the focal point was on the coming of Christ, his return, not his coming as a babe. But gradually, much of the church has turned its attention from the coming of Christ in the future to the coming of Christ in the past. And looking back at the birth of Yeshua instead of looking forward to his return. He warned his followers to be watchful for his return. And these passages that we just touched on today, they're not the only ones that do that. There are several places where Jesus warned his people to be watchful for his coming. He warned us, but never did he instruct anybody to observe his birth. In fact, they didn't celebrate births. They only celebrated the death of great people. In the reading that we had from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, we learned that the Lord promised to seek out His flock. He calls the souls that belong to Him sheep. And there are many descriptors that are used to describe. There are many words that are used to tell of who His people are. One of them is sheep. Another is the bride. Another are friends. We're called family. We're called children. But in Ezekiel, He refers to His people as sheep and refers to Himself as their shepherd. What we did not read in Ezekiel, because of the length of it and just in saving time, was the earlier part of that chapter where Almighty God chastises the human shepherds. He chastises the shepherds for not feeding His flock. He calls those souls His sheep, and His shepherds, His under-shepherds, are to feed them. And what are we to feed them? His Word. His Word alone. The key to a healthy member of the community of Christ is to be feeding upon the Word of Almighty God. And these shepherds are the pastors and teachers, and He reprimands them for not teaching and preaching the Word of God, not taking care of the souls that He's entrusted to them. I have to ask, does that sound familiar? He invested in those pastors. He invested in those teachers. And the other passage of Scripture that we looked at earlier in Matthew 25 is when He says to those three that He invested in, so what'd you do with it? What'd you do with I invested in you? One says, well, I held on to it because I knew you're a stern man. And that one got cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, do you think for a moment that this isn't also included in that picture? Of course it is. He gives to be invested. He wants it to be put into His people, into His sheep. The souls were lost, He says, because those shepherds did not use what they had been given properly. Souls were unfed. They fell prey to beasts. When we look in the earlier part of Ezekiel chapter 34, if you get a chance when you get home, read it. Read the whole chapter. There was no shepherd. The shepherds that were there fed themselves and didn't feed His flock. That's what He says. And this is what sets us up for what we read today. The Lord God says, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. And if you read Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, you see that whatever He's entrusted has to be delivered. And if we don't deliver it, He holds the blood of those who burn for us because we've not given them what we're supposed to give them. He holds it on our hands. That's what He says. I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. There's a lot of people making money on the gospel today, folks, and they're not feeding the flock. You give them everything and anything but the Word of God. And that's what leads us up to what we read in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. Almighty God will search for His sheep and seek them out. He says so. Jesus said so in His ministry. He'll deliver them from all the places where they were scattered. He promises to bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries to their own land. It's that heavenly land. It's a picture of the coming of Christ to gather His true followers to be with Him for eternity. And that is the hope of our salvation. That is the hope of our salvation. That is what we expect. It's a picture of the coming of Christ. It's a picture of His coming in judgment. It's a witness for us to expect the shepherd of hope. This is why we tie the Scriptures together this way today, so that you understand it's Old Testament and New Testament. It's not one or the other. God foretells, and then He fulfills. And He foretells, and He fulfills. And He tells us in His Word, Christ is coming, and He's going to gather His people together, and He alone will rule over them. In our responsive reading, we are instructed to shout and sing in that Psalm 100. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. It's a psalm or a song of praise for our Shepherd of Hope. Everyone on earth is instructed to shout praises to our Creator. We belong to Him. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Believers are also called the temple of God in His Word. Think about that for a moment. We are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to be thankful and praise Him in His temple. We're living in the temple of God every day. We are to lift praises to Him. We are to give glory to Him. We are to give ourselves over to His use. Be joyful. Sing as you worship the Shepherd of Hope. The Lord is good. His love and His faithfulness last forever. His mercy endures forever. He says it over and over and over in His Word. His mercy endures forever. He has mercy because He is merciful. Our daily focus is to be on living for Him, praising Him, feeding upon His Word, communicating with Him, and watching for His return. Of course, we have a lot of things that demand our attention. There are lots of things that take our attention. And I know that just as well as every one of you do. But these things must never stop us from expecting the Shepherd of our hope. He's the Shepherd of our souls. And we are to be watchful. We are to be expecting His return at any time. If we live our lives day to day expecting the return of Christ will happen today, think of the power that gives you over temptation. There is nothing that can tempt you out of His hand. He makes a way for you to escape. And if only that thought of His return today, Christ is returning today. If that's what it takes, if you can keep that thought in your mind, what if it were today? We sing that song, what if it were today? The earliest believers lived every day as if it was the one when He would return. And we know that from the early writers. There was a time of year dedicated to studying the Scriptures to learn and remember what He taught about expecting His coming. In around the time of Constantine, the church started to celebrate doing baptism around this time of the year. They'd do their baptism. They have 4 weeks of Advent, the coming of Christ, celebrating Christ coming into the lives of people. And then that was changed into celebrating the whole Christmas thing that we've learned. But the focus was on looking at His return, not on that He already came. And that changed. And somehow, we've lost sight of the scriptural basis for watching, looking for His return. Jesus wasn't born December 25th, folks. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but He wasn't born December 25th. It's obvious by the record. If you look at the timelines, and the shepherds were out in the fields with their flocks, they're not out in December. What's likely when you look at the calendar, the old calendar, and the moon and the sun, and the way that they follow the cycles, there's no way it was December 25th. There's absolutely no way. And so when we're celebrating, we have to remember that, okay? What we're celebrating when we're celebrating the Christ Mass is we're celebrating something from Roman tradition long ago. But I'm not trying to dissuade you from doing that, folks, okay? Because you've got people in your lives that are used to that tradition, and you can do it knowing that you're to be focusing on His return. There's a whole lot of that I don't want to get into right now, but I want you to realize that the point of Christ coming is to redeem humanity. And each of us that have been bought and paid for by Christ Himself has a duty and obligation to live for Him. To live for Him as if He's coming today, not tomorrow. Because today, if He's coming tomorrow, we might try to get away with something today. But if we live today as if He's coming today, we will not do anything that's outside of His will. We'll choose not to. We'll be empowered not to. We have to remember, it's our Shepherd of Hope who redeems us from every evil. He gives us the power. Almighty God deserves praise for bringing us into His sheepfold and adding us to His people. A few weeks ago, we looked at that, how we were brought in, we were grafted into the family of God. Our great shepherd instills hope in all who trust in Him to return. He's going to return for His people. We live each day as if it's the one when He'll arrive, and we're watchful, we're prepared, we're ready to be received. Right now. Right now, I could say, we're all ready. All of us who are sitting in this room right now, we could say, yes, I'm prepared for Christ to come. What about later? Or what about later, like when your car key breaks and you can't move your car? You're stuck somewhere. Or what about those other things that happen in our lives? Are we still going to be ready? Are we still going to be focused on Christ's return? He instills hope in those who trust Him. And we're to live every day as if it's the one that He will arrive in. And I believe this enables and empowers us to overcome all temptation. In our reading from Ephesians, we heard Paul giving thanks and praise for the faith of those believers in Ephesus. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And to what end? To what end? Why? Why pray that? He said that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling upon your life? You see, the shepherd of hope gives his followers hope. It's found in the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. It's found in what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. And this is according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. He gives us the power through Christ. Do you need hope today? Are you without hope? Is your hope dwindling? Then I say, place your attention on the shepherd of hope who is in that place of ruling. He rules far above all principality and power, might and dominion. He is above all. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And that is who we celebrate. We celebrate that He's coming. We know that He's coming. He promised to come. And when we look at the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, when we look at that, we must remember that was a fulfillment of prophecy. And so we can see that for what it is. It is a done deal. And when we look forward to His return, we know that He's coming because it was promised. It was foretold. And we know that God is not a liar. He brings forth that which He foretells. His name is above all names. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Remember, Almighty God put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. And there's another word that's used to describe us. We are His body. It's the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And that text that we found in Matthew describes the coming of the shepherd of hope. He's called the Son of Man, coming in His glory with all the holy angels with Him. He's going to collect those souls that He bought and paid for on the cross. He's going to sit on the throne of His glory to judge all the nations that are gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another. That's what He says. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. That's what He says. He's going to do that. The shepherd of hope will invite His flock, who are blessed of His Father, into their inheritance in the kingdom. Come along. Welcome. Come along. Prepared for them from the foundation of the world. His kingdom was prepared for His people before the foundation of the world. And as He invites His people in, He will explain His criteria for judging which were His and which were not His. His flock took care of other people. He says, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was in prison and you came to me. He calls them the righteous. He's the king. He tells them doing these things for others is the same as doing them for him. The others who were separated from the righteous, he sends away into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because their lives reveal their unbelief. He accuses them of not taking care of him when he was in need. Whew. They'll protest. Oh, they will protest. He said so. They'll protest. But his judgment is that when you didn't do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to him. That's his judgment. He's the righteous judge. They'll go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life, and that is the hope of our salvation. We have everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we live expecting the shepherd of hope, we take care of other people. We do what we can, just as if they were in fact Christ himself. And many of you in this room right now, you live with the expectation of the Master's coming. I know you do. I interact with you. Some of you don't. But maybe you'll get that straightened out after this message. And I believe you take care to live as he instructs. You seek to follow his teaching. You turn back to him if you stray. And if you realize you've erred, you correct your path. But it's possible that some who will listen to this message are not there, that they're not in that place, that they're not expecting the return of Christ, that they haven't been born again, and I trust because they are hearing the message that God will get a hold of them. I hope that none ignore the call that Christ puts on their lives. There are many who are like the shepherds that Almighty God chastised in Ezekiel's time. There are pastors who are not feeding the flock. They're not doing what needs to be done to take care of others. And this is especially true of those pastors who don't feed the people the Word of God. Oh, they give them some nice stories. Flowery stories. Tickle the ears. Make you feel good. It's like a mouthful of cotton candy, I often say. You can leave with your mouth full, but before you get out the door, it's gone. They're not doing what needs to be done to take care of others. There's a famine for the Word of God that's come upon the world, and God says he's the one that sent it. He says he'll take it away from the shepherds who haven't fed his flock. Many aren't living in the expectation the coming shepherd of hope will lead his flock to the heavenly city of God. They're not living there at all. They don't expect him to come back. And as I wrap this up, I want you to hold on to a deep expectation of his coming. I want you to have that expectation, like today's the day, every day. And when you live that way, when you expect that he's going to return today, it's real easy to say no to that temptation. The expectation is a heavenly gift of hope, and that far exceeds anything worldly. It's what separates true believers from false. That's what his word shows. It divides the prepared from those who are not. It reveals those who are investing God's resources into building his kingdom from those who are not. It enables us to praise Almighty God and give him praise every day, no matter what comes our way. And this year, as you rehearse the traditions of Christ's coming as a baby in Bethlehem, I want you to do so expecting the shepherd of hope. What we have is already purchased. We don't need to buy it. What we have is already secured. We do not need to secure it. What we have is promised, and the fulfillment is coming. Remember the 10 virgins and examine yourself. Which group best describes you? Are you prepared and ready for the bridegroom, or are you without the oil of gladness? Remember the investment you received from the shepherd of hope. Are you using it to bring him a return? Or are you keeping it buried and unproductive? Remember the sheep and the goats, they're divided by their actions. Which group are you in? Helping or ignoring others? It's not an indictment, folks. I really want you to check yourself. Each of these things reveals who you are, but they do nothing to make you who you are. You can't be converted into a child of God by doing good work. But when you're converted into being a child of God, you will do good work. As children of God, you have the ability to serve Him with expectation every day. And I want you to live today. This is my call, my final call to you. As you leave, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember. To live today and every day forward, expecting the soon return of our Shepherd of Hope. Because nothing else matters, folks. Nothing. It's where we are. It's a late time in the grand time of things. And we must all be ready. We must all be expecting the return of Christ. So as we celebrate this year, let's keep that in mind and see if it influences how we live our lives unto Him. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are Your children. We want to serve You. We want to worship You. We want to glorify You. Help us, Lord, to be prepared with the oil of gladness for the coming of the bridegroom. Help us, Lord, to use the investment we've received to bring You a return. Help us, Lord, to live our lives serving not just ourselves, but others and You. Help us, Lord, to live as Your children, serving You with expectation of the coming of Christ every day. Help us to live every day forward, expecting His return. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. And now we're going to open our hymnals to number 155. And I did not practice it, so I'm going to use the music, because it's been a while since I sang this one. He is Coming Again, number 155. Do you need hope today? Are you without hope? Is your hope dwindling? Then I say place your attention on the Shepherd of Hope, who is in that place of ruling.